Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Savage Starlight, the officially unofficial podcast for The Last of Us on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about season one, episode six, Kin. I wish this show was going to get 6 seasons. Aaron, yeah. What'd you think? It's the instant take off the cuff. How'd you feel about it?
I thought this was a really good episode. I thought it was going to be one of those sleepy kind of like set building kind of character building, get things moving where they need to be moving episode, and then bang, or I guess stab. Joel takes a deer horn to the gut or whatever he pulled out.
Sure.
Probably should have left that in, Joel.
Yeah.
Probably should have left that in. I hear best medical advice, if you get stabbed, leave the knife in till you can get medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. I also,
your
you know
first
me,
impulse has to be to pull that thing out, though, right? I mean,
I know.
There's something for it in me. I got to get this out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked that. And I especially liked the look at a post-apocalyptic life that kind of works. You know, that's what I was always like kind of pining for in The Walking Dead. And like what they present here is it's supposed to be Jackson, Wyoming. Is that the what it's?
Yes. I'm familiar with Jackson Hole. It's Jackson in the game, too. So I think this is just Jackson.
Gotcha.
Also, there's a Jackson Hole like mural thing on one of the walls. I don't know. I'm a little confused by that.
Jackson Hole. There's a hole in Jackson, and the green grass grows all around. That shit's catnip for me. What'd you think of this episode?
It's not a particularly eventful episode, but it is a good episode. I really liked the stuff where we finally there's a little bit of Joel revealed to Ellie. That stuff to me was very good, and there's a little bit of Joel revealed to us as an audience, I think. His talks with his brother about, you know, how much he's failed Ellie, how, you know, scared he is. He's going to do it again. He'll just get her killed. It's like, yeah, all that stuff is stuff that we've been kind of picking up in pieces as the episodes have gone on. But to see it so explicit here and to see Joel's reaction to it, to finally know, like, how he feels about it, I guess, in no uncertain terms, I thought was really good. And then, boy, a lot of these scenes are from the game, right? So I'm looking for some of the big ones. And this scene with Ellie, you know, telling Joel how pissed off she is that he's abandoning her right now. Man, that's a heartbreaker, you know?
Yeah. I'm a True Blood fan. So it's always good to see Rutina Wesley. I actually don't think I've ever heard that pronounced. She was Tara on True Blood. She was Maria in this episode.
I thought
she was really good. I loved it. What do you think of the little vignette that we opened with Graham Greene and Elaine Miles, who I think I recognize from Northern Exposure, because she played almost the exact same character, this laconic, just like completely unperturbed, unbothered, moisturized in her lane.
And is this grandpa from Twilight? Is he still doing his thing? Is that the same guy?
Is that the grandpa from Twilight? I don't know. There's
quite Twilight?
A few
I don't know.
Native Americans in Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
But we just saw him. He was in The Green Mile.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that scene. I think both of those old goats, just those old goats, man. I love them.
Nina says, "As right as Rutina." Thank you. The Joel's deepest fondness wish is to. I love it. Ellie wants to be an astronaut. Joel just wants to farm sheep, and the payoff of the sheep as the episode went on was pretty good.
Man, I feel like that's just that's just showing the age gap, right? Like, Joel's done his time. He's ready to just, like, take it easy, not worry yeah. about stuff, have peace and yeah. quiet. And Ellie's wanting to get out there and just do shit, mix yeah. it up. Yeah.
I love Man, it. I really appreciated up front, too, the video game experience, how we talked about, you know, last week, how in the video game, Henry shoots himself and it goes black and 3 months later, and they kind of rewind to give you the game video game experience. I love the gorgeous scenery. There's a couple of, like, you know, Fellowship of the Ring type shots of Joel and Ellie just navigating through the landscape, the mountains in the background, them having the chat by the fireside and the firelight playing off both their faces, like, really good. Just gorgeous camera work in this episode. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
What do you make of the? I'm sorry. do you have something you want to say?
I'm just trying to fill dead air, man. I was noticing other things in that were in the video game. Like, when I saw Joel duct taping up his boots, I'm like, well, you don't do that, but you get to craft with it. I felt like that was an homage to the game.
Right. What'd you make of the mushroom sniffing dog not sniffing Ellie?
I don't know what to make of that, because in every other way really she seems to be infected, right?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what does that mean. Also, I thought it was interesting how I felt like the show, because this is something people have been asking us about, like, what do you think of the efficacy of this effort to find a vaccine, you know? And I felt like the show put its thumb a little bit on the scale of hope when Joel came out of, like, you know, completely endorsing, like, hey, you know, if what's her face? What was her? Marlena. If Marlena says it's legit, then it's legit. And you come here to the Eastern, what is it? The Eastern, what was it? The Eastern Colorado University.
River of
I forget
Death?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you get here and you see that there looked like a pretty well-equipped research labs with, like, monkeys and everything, and they've abandoned it to go to some kind of central place.
I don't know.
I feel like the show is trying to kindle the idea that this isn't, you know, this isn't just a little, you know, people playing doctor. You know, it's got some serious, it's got some rigor to the program.
Yeah, for sure. I think the question is also there, like, will it actually do any good if they get Ellie there? You know, are they like her idea of the process where it's just like, they'll, you know, draw some blood and I'll go to the moon. That's it. That's cool. I don't know if it's going to be that simple, especially when, like, she's rubbing her blood into other people. And, like, I'm just saying she's really getting her hopes up for that stuff. And
yeah,
I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah. I really like the scene between Joel and Tommy where, you know, Joel's making excuses for the way they lived. Apparently they did the Raider lifestyle, and that line that Tommy had, that's like, you know, we murdered people. There were other ways, Joel. We just weren't very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's interesting that, like, the type of guy that Joel is, isn't the type of guy that sets up something like this.
Yeah,
where this pretty large community. I mean, I don't know, over 100 people. I mean, just look at the people at the theater, and they're, like, thriving, you know, and they're being tough. Obviously, when someone rolls on them and comes at them the wrong way, they're able to handle themselves. But
I think it's a commentary on, like, the rugged independence that Americans value so much, right? Like, the thing that Tommy's saying there is we weren't very good at them because we didn't want to cooperate. We didn't want to be communists, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you had to be to survive in this world after this event. You had to come together with people, because if you didn't, you were a lone wolf and you were dead.
I would love to see how this society developed, you know, like how you go from, like, a couple people to have the idea, hey, we're going to work together, we're going to share everything equally and all that stuff, and how you eventually get to the size where you can do something like rehabilitate a dam, you know, get a hydroelectric system going
and wall off an entire community like that. It's a lot of work.
And you have to, like, you pick the wrong, you know, you let the wrong people in and at the wrong stages. And but I guess, I don't know, is that a hopeful statement on humanity that, you know, it isn't that hard to find people that aren't bloody minded, want to work together, want to work hard for a better life? Or
yeah,
is it
sure.
just like
in
they just
groups,
rolled the dice
totally.
And they hit a winner every single time, like, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They were
black
pretty cautious
20 times in a row and won, you know?
About who they bring in, so maybe they hit some stinkers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely. It's in that world, you know, you need to rely on other people. You can't do everything yourself. Unless you're Bill. Unless you're the superhero prepper.
Now's the time to endure and survive. We'll be back with more Savage Starlight.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Just so we're clear about back there, it was either us or the ad. Welcome back to more Savage Starlight.
Ellie was interesting because she's got like James Holden syndrome times 10. Like she can't help but tell everybody everything every time she meets them. And I liked Joel being kind of horrified by it. Do you think they're showing some growth there by the way she was pretty reserved around Maria? You know, she was like not volunteering as much information. And like it's something Maria noticed and said, you know, you're essentially smart to be cautious about who you trust and all that. I don't know if that was kind of showing her maturing a little bit, being a little bit more discerning.
Could be. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'm trying to like look at this episode and say how was Sam's death affecting to these characters, Sam and Henry. There might be something there. I need to think about that.
They set it up quite a few times. I was surprised to see Joel get stabbed at the end of this episode. But they kept on highlighting like Ellie's fear of being left alone. The fact that she didn't know, you know, she said several times in the episode, it's like, you know, and there's even that kind of discussion about like, what after this, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, she's already assuming I'm going to be with it. She's like, you know, get this realization that like, I'm in your care. I can't, I can't get from one place to another without you at this right now. And it looks like she's going to have to. I thought they set that up so well, just kind of underlined that the fact that like she's really dependent on Joel. She's really dependent on Joel. And it really sold the heartbreak when Joel tried to kind of foist her off onto Tommy.
Yeah, totally. That's I don't know, man. It's I've always looked at that decision as one that I don't necessarily disagree with, but boy, that's a hard thing to do to this girl, right? Like,
yeah,
he might not be the best person to get her there. He makes a good argument. He's old. He's like half deaf. He's already almost been killed once trying to protect her. He fails every time. And it's just dumb luck that they get through it. Yeah, he's got a pretty compelling case that he's not the right guy for this mission, but boy, that's a blow for Ellie, just emotionally.
The one thing I'll say is the way that it goes down in the show, I do not understand why Joel and Tommy both don't go.
Yeah, so
that it's like there's this binary, but to me, it's like it's yes. Played like Joel. Yes, he doesn't think he's the right man for the job. Yes, he's missed a step. Yes, Ellie's already had to save him. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But what Joel is terrified of doing is failing Ellie again. And if he doesn't go on it, then he's like kind of okay on that score, or like he just rides and never sees, and he just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking, but like that's the thing. I was like, you know, it's like, you know, it's better than sending her with Tommy, which is essentially the younger, better version of you. Also you. Also uh-huh. You. 85% of, you know, Tommy, let's say, is still pretty damn good.
It's pretty
unbeatable team.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a defense mechanism for Joel. Like he realizes how close he is again, not just to failing her, but to losing her. Because there's clearly some affection that's built here, right? I mean, he protested and he's like, what do you mean we? But come on, man, we see
right.
It. You give a
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. This was his last kind of like ditch effort to not have those feelings lead to someplace that could hurt him, you know?
Right, right. And so, yeah, he doesn't want to go on this mission also to save himself from that heartache
right.
Again, because that'll kill him. That's it, man. Like, right. you lose an actual daughter and a daughter figure in the same lifetime, and that guy's done.
Yeah, speaking of, I mean, it seems like he's having actual heart trouble aside from the heartache, too. Like, there's some old man-itis catching up to him.
Yeah, he talks about his heart. I thought it was more just like a panic attack.
A panic attack?
But he says, I don't know. I'm not sure if he literally means like my heart stops, because I'm sure when you're having a panic attack,
it feels like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't breathe. You can't move anything. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably just a panic attack, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, Joel's just so emotionally closed off. I thought it was interesting how he didn't even really want to tell his brother about Tess. You know, he tried to like make that be smoothed over. And then when his brother tells him that he's married, he had this very reserved reaction to that. And then when he says he's going to have a child, he completely was a fucking dick about it. That whole, I guess,
yeah.
It's like, I always thought I might be a good dad. Guess we'll find out. What do you think was the,
I think he's trying to
that?
Like, I think that's a reflex that's like instinctively, he's too late, but I think he wants to like protect his brother from going through the same shit. But didn't his brother lose a son? Is it implied that Kevin was his son?
No, that's Maria's
son. Is that her
son?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think Tommy had a son that he lost. I was like, wait a second.
There's a lot of things I didn't think quite added up, because like I'm with Joel a little bit. Like, you couldn't tell him that like, hey, Joel, I'm okay, but I'm going someplace that needs radio silence and you're not going to hear me for a
right.
long time.
One last message,
you know,
yeah.
Because like, I feel like Tommy should have made a point. He's like, look, you don't know my brother. If I go radio silent, it might take 3 months. It might take 3 years, but he is going to come here and it's probably going to cause a problem. All right. I thought that was dumb. I thought Joel, and this is like not dumb in the sense of like it's a plot error. It's dumb. And it just drives me fucking crazy when characters do this shit. I also drove me crazy when Joel's like, you can't tell anyone, not even Maria. Why the fuck can't Tommy tell Maria this girl's immune?
He absolutely should. Like, you might not trust her, Joel, but Tommy does.
Yeah, and like, what did you meet this? What? Where did she seem like she was a fucking hothead?
Right.
You know,
right.
And that like the fact that she's got this old scarred over bite, like, you know, there's not, it's, I don't know. I thought that was particularly stupid too. In fact, I kind of think it's stupid in universe. I just can't.
Yeah.
I was hoping that like Tommy's like, okay, Joel. And then the next morning, like Tommy's like, yeah, of course I told Sarah. And she says, sure. It's the fate of the world. Uh-huh. I want my child to grow up. And of course exactly. She's on board. All right. Like, yeah. I was kind of like, I was hoping for the show to pull that, but they didn't. So what are you going to do?
No. It's all right. The scene where Ellie finds out that Joel had a daughter, I really love. Because you can see all the pieces clicking into place
click,
for her.
Click. Yep.
Explains a lot about him. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to ask you, like, when Joel shows up in Jackson and he meets Tommy, and you can see, like, Tommy wants to live this life. Joel feels like his is basically over. Tommy kind of doesn't want Joel there, really. Like, Joel doesn't seem to fit in, right? He's like side-eyeing everything that he finds out about Tommy's existence now.
Yeah.
Oh, and Tommy's playing it like he's a little bit ashamed of the life he's built here. And like, he doesn't really want his brother around at this point. And I'm just thinking for Joel, like, what do you do in Joel's worldview when your family doesn't want you around? What do you do? What do you live for? Right. Cause like when he's talking to Ellie in the truck a few episodes ago, it was like, well, the reason I keep going is cause my family got to protect him. Well, Tommy doesn't need his protection. Tommy's set up, you know, what does Joel have to live for at this point?
His singing career, apparently.
Sure. He's going to sing to those sheep every night out on his ranch on the moon.
That's right. He's going to sing to his sheep and romance targets. Squeeze a trigger like you love her.
Yeah.
That's the heartbreak of The Last of Us, right? Like, right as Ellie and Joel are finally, like, you know, they're really bonding and there's like something changed. Mm-hmm. Something changed, and you know, they had a big outburst where Joel said a whole bunch of shit he doesn't mean. He had the whole night to think about, you know, Ellie and Sarah and how he's ready to kind of like fully commit to this thing. And I like how they staged the, like, you know, you get to make a decision, she just instantly boom right away. And then that whole horseback ride up until you get to the university is just them, you know, being this easy relationship they've fallen into. Mm-hmm. And they're just talking about everything. Like, he's telling her all about football and what how being a contractor was the coolest.
Revisionist history by Joel.
The smile on his face as she's like, that sounds cool. Oh yeah, we were cool contractors. Mm-hmm.
Everybody
liked us.
Contractors. Uh-huh.
Like, it's firefighters and contractors, baby. Just everybody bought us beer
and monkeys.
It's firefighters, contractors
and monkeys, three things mm-hmm. everybody loved in the old world.
All right. What else do we have to talk about? Talked a lot.
I got one pet peeve.
Okay.
That they do in this episode. I really hate when they pull this. You go from pure black to blinding white snow.
Oh yeah.
Smash cut. I hate that every time. It makes me wince and I miss like what they're doing in the first couple seconds.
It's really bad in the movie theater when they hit you with the pure black, the pure white,
or in a darkened room with HDR on your fucking it's terrible. It's horrible. I have to look away for like 3 seconds.
Yeah,
don't do it. Stop doing that, creators. I know you like the contrast, but and the texture of it all, but fuck, come on.
I kind of think they love that aspect of it. The fact that they're hitting with that, it's like the character. You know, it's like they're hitting you with a. They have art that's provoked a literal physical response in you. Okay. I think that's like powerful. You know, it's like the same way a jump scare can like make people jump in their seats. I think they kind of like doing that from time to time. But it is.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Anyway, that's all I got.
There should be a cinema law that you can only increase the lumens a certain percentage per frame.
Yeah.
To protect the viewer's eye retinas from being burnt out. Okay. Shall we get into the instant talk section now?
Yeah, let's do it.